Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Tops, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump Topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. Woo! It's the Doug and Tyler show this week. We're recapping week 8. We've got some college news. We've got some news and injuries. Tim is out camping this week, so he's out in the Pennsylvania woods.
It's a bit chilly.
Got a nice little fire going, maybe doing some s'mores. Hopefully you don't hear a banjo off in the distance.
Some more of what?
Hitting the dad jokes early. I love it.
Sandlot.
Tyler, you've had a good week in fantasy. So have I. What's new in the real world, though? IRL, what's new?
Nothing, you know, wife is back this week. It was a good week and yeah, I just enjoyed family time yesterday and now enjoyed football a lot today. And the Vikings are playing right now. So Doug, you want to watch the World Series? I want to finish watching the Vikings game. So we're just going to do a little quick hits, start rolling so we can get back to that. And you guys can not be annoyed with us.
Sure. Yeah, I don't. It'll be annoyed. It'll be an abbreviated episode this week. We're going to give you as much information jam-packed into a little container as we can.
Yes, and you can also get more of us if we get one more patron by going to patreon.com/dynastyhhpod. Go there and sign up to be a patron, and you can get an extra episode of us.
Yeah, buddy.
Answer your questions and all that. Get a little more time with us. And we're not going to charge you per hour like a psychiatrist would. It's just you and us.
Or like how I get billed for my hotels.
Yeah. But yeah, go on to patreon.com/dynastyhhpod and go ahead and do that. Like I said, one away, and we will do an extra episode.
Yeah, and make sure you check out Trophy Smack. You heard the ad in the beginning of the pod. Use that code DHHRING for your free championship ring when you order a trophy. The shipping is free. It's amazing. And if you've got your phone in your hand and you're listening to this podcast, go on to the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store and download the Sit or Start Fantasy app. 70% of the time, it's right all the time. Absolute baller in the game when it comes to comparisons and who to sit or start, as well as there's news. You can find podcasts on there. All sorts of cool stuff, so make sure you check that out as well. So let's get into some news and injuries. We missed a little bit. We talked about the Amari Cooper rumors last week, but we didn't talk about the actual trade that went down this week. Amari Cooper goes from the Oakland Raiders to the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys send a first-round pick, which is currently the number 8th or 9th pick in the draft, to Oakland. So Tyler, Amari Cooper's a hot topic when it comes to dynasty wide receivers. Everyone's like, he's so young. Look what he did his first 3 seasons. Now he goes to Dak Prescott, and I think everyone's kind of like, eh. What was your initial reaction to this move?
I mean, I like it, but I'm staying away still. That offense is Zeke and kind of Dak running now, which I like. Like I said, I'm kind of a Dak fan. I do like him. I wish he succeeds. I'm glad they got him another weapon, but I just don't think it's going to revolve around the passing game. Amari Cooper, I had been done with him. No, thank you. I'm going to sell. I think you guys got an opportunity to sell to a Dallas fan. I know there's been mixed opinions, but I'm one of the people who is going to be selling on the news.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same thing too. I mean, Dak doesn't force the ball downfield. He doesn't like to pepper his number one receiver with a ton of targets. So for me, Amari Cooper is a fade if you have him. And like you said, if you can find a Cowboys fan, and it seems like every league has at least a couple Cowboys fans because they're like, yep. Oh, man, I used to watch when Emmett was on the team. Oh, cool.
Awesome. America's team.
America. So, yeah, I'm skipping out on Amari Cooper. I don't own him anywhere, so go me. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, yes. So some news that came across my Twitter feed from a reliable source says the Patriots are looking to trade their first rounder for a number one stud wide receiver. Now, we talked about this before the show a little bit, Tyler. Are you following a little trail here? What do you think? Why would the Patriots be looking for a number one stud wide receiver right now?
Probably because Josh Gordon has a suspension looming. And I mean, Cleveland got rid of him for a fifth round pick, which kind of perked up everybody's ears saying, wow, why'd they sell low? I remember myself saying right when they did it, there's got to be something more to it. There's got to be a reason why they give up on a guy after so many years of just sticking with him, saying they're behind him, then all of a sudden being like, we're okay. We're going to ship him off. It would suck because, I mean, he's just starting to get his feet wet with the offense. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if they're looking for a number one receiver, a stud for a first-round pick, that is very worrisome. I mean, they traded a fifth for Josh Gordon, so imagine them saying, hey, we're going to trade a first. That says a lot to me, and if I have Josh Gordon, I'm actually the second I'm able to, even after this week, after a big game, if he has one, he's gone.
He won't have a big game because he's going to be covered by Tre'Davious White. Yeah, he is a stud. I don't think I have a big game. I think it's funny reading the verbiage of this tweet. They're looking for a stud receiver with their first round pick, and I was like, hey, is Brandon Cooks available? You know, they traded a number one for him, and then they got a number one for him. So, yeah, that was just being funny.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be anyone like Mike Evans or anyone like that. But and speaking of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so Jameis Winston goes out and throws four interceptions today. We see a little bit of Fitzmagic again. There was still some left in the bottle, and Fitzmagic ties the game. And now the overreaction, you know, there was a piece on ESPN that said, is Jameis Winston's time done in Tampa?
You and I are Jameis fans, and it's tough for me because I am definitely the type that really wants him to succeed. I do believe that he is a good quarterback, and you do as well. We talked about that. We both think he's a very talented player. And you and I talked off air that it's just his body language right now doesn't seem like he's really happy in Tampa. It doesn't seem like he wants to be there, and it just maybe he lost a locker room. Maybe that could be a reason.
Maybe they see through him because he comes off as fake. I've always said that. Like when you see him try to rally the troops, it's like it's cringeworthy. I mean, the whole eat the W thing.
That is my favorite.
But you've seen like when they had Hard Knocks with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And you just see like some of the stuff in the locker room, and you're like, dude, you're so corny. Like, and especially with that team has a lot of veterans on it, both on the defensive and offensive side of the ball. I could see that where they're just like, yeah, whatever, Jameis, like, shut up, you know, and they don't believe in him per se.
I mean, would he go to the Giants this offseason? I mean,
they picked up his fifth year, or did they? They picked up his fifth year option, right?
I thought they had a choice. They probably did, but I think they have a decision to make. I can't remember, but all I know is it's a bad quarterback class. They could probably trade him. Who knows? I mean, it's the same thing with Mariota, but I think Mariota has the team's respect per se, has the team rallied behind him.
Sure.
Players like him. For me, with Jameis, it, like you said, it just seems like the body language says it all. He just doesn't care. Every time he throws a pick,
Those picks were just god awful. I was just like, oh, speaking of cringeworthy, watching that, I was like, oh, that's just, he didn't even see the linebacker just standing there and he threw it right to him. I was like, oh.
And I went on Twitter and I asked for Dynasty Frank's help saying, hey, Jameis, throw the ball to Evans. Who cares? Just degaff it. And then when Winston was taken out, I was like, I told you, I actually was like, oh my God, Evans is going to go off now. And the first play, Boom. Fitzpatrick goes right to Evans, 72-yard bomb. Boom. And Evans looked like he was just hustling his butt off for Fitzpatrick. And it just seems like a mess there. Could it be Cutter? I don't know. It sucks because, like I said, I like Winston. I have him in a couple spots. I actually went and got him for very cheap in some spots. Mm-hmm. But, man, there's just something about the situation that just doesn't sit well for me.
It'll be interesting to see. You know, other Tampa Bay news is DeSean Jackson has requested a trade. He's making like $10 million this year and $11 million next year. And, you know, Tampa's 3-4. They're not completely like losing, but that team is a mess. Let's be honest. So I wouldn't be surprised as we see the trade deadline this week to see a guy like DeSean Jackson moved. Jameis maybe gets moved. That would be
Demaryius
bold.
Thomas.
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas. I mean, I think there's going to be some pretty good veterans that get moved around. I think D-Jax would actually be a really good fit for the Houston Texans, who lost Will Fuller to an ACL injury. I know, Tyler. It's sad panda. So Will Fuller goes down with an ACL. That changes the whole landscape of the Texans offense because as far as pass catchers go, Kiki QT has showed some promise, but he's been hurt. So it's DeAndre Hopkins just getting massive target amounts again, which is if you own DeAndre Hopkins, like, you love him anyway, but now you love him even more because
that
he's
catch.
That in between the legs windmill dunk of a catch.
Yeah.
He is the funnest receiver. I know Odell Beckham's like really good and stuff, but I think DeAndre Hopkins is my favorite receiver to watch.
Yeah. And with the Will Fuller injury, this is probably the second hardest injury that I've actually taken because I love Will Fuller. He's having a great year.
It was Delvin.
Delvin last year. Week 4, I think it was when he went down.
That was a punch.
And that one really hit hard. Like that day was ruined. That was it. Mm-hmm. Will Fuller on Thursday going off like that. I just traded for him in a home league. I was like, yes. And I have him in a lot of other spots. And when he got hurt, especially the year he's having, proving people wrong that he's not another Ted Ginn. He's a good receiver. He's still young. And if you're going to do what I've been doing, going out and just saying, hey, you don't get him the rest of the year. You're in contention. Let me give you this player and a pick. And then you give me Fuller and he can sit on my IR. I get him back next year. I'm doing that in a lot of spots where I don't have him. And I would suggest you do the same. He's got a young quarterback that loves to target him. And yeah, give me a lot of Fuller for next year. He should be back by week 1, if not probably week 2, sure. 3.
Yeah, we were talking the same strategy off air about Darius Geis. I was talking about a potential trade in a home dynasty league that I'm in. And you know, you see Adrian Peterson looking really good. That run blocking line of the Redskins, it just makes me drool to see Darius Geis as a starting running back behind that line next year. I'm like, I gotta go and get Geis. I have to. I think that's a really good move because, you know, people, you know, I would love to say that everyone in Dynasty has the long road thinking strategy, but a lot of people don't. And they're like, you know what? I drafted this guy. He's the ACL. I'm still trying to win and I just need something. So throw an
offer. Penny. Yeah. As much as I don't like Rashad Penny, he's another guy I've thrown out offers for. I saw a tweet. I'm sorry. I forgot who it was. They literally said a storyline you could hear next year is Rojo looking well. Dominating the backfield, getting a year, you know, underneath his wings, and then Rashad Penny losing a couple pounds, looking very thin, very cut. And I mean, those are stories you want to hear from running back is losing weight, you know, down to 220, looking very good, spry. Penny is still a young player. I know I'm not a big fan, but that running offensive line looks very good for Seattle.
Yeah, they've been better than we thought they were.
Yeah, and if they can get Penny going for 2019, which is from what I'm seeing is not a good class, I'll just jump right into it. AJ Brown, N'Keal Harry, and David Montgomery are probably the top three that I'm seeing. And Harry for me is probably 101.
He had a ridiculous catch this past week. He ran a punt return where he pretty much like traversed the whole field and then he hit the corner and it was like he hit the turbo button. He right triggered it and then just was like whoop. I was like, whoop, see you later.
4.45, 4.46 for being 6'3", 220. The dude's gonna be good.
Yeah. So let's get back on track a little bit. So I think the Texans will be in the market for a wide receiver, whether that's DeSean Jackson. I would love to see Dez Bryant over there across from DeAndre Hopkins. I think that would be a lot of fun. I mean, he's not doing anything right now, so why not? Other injuries, no real major ones this week, thankfully, that I could see. Tyreek Hill pulled his groin early in the Chiefs game. He left in the fourth quarter. They think it's not serious, but obviously keep an eye on that. Sammy Watkins got you 2 touchdowns this week, so that was nice. If you had faith enough to start Sammy, most of you probably didn't. And that's how Sammy Watkins works. You start him on the weeks he's supposed to pop, and he doesn't, and then he pops off on your bench, which is always fun. David Johnson got a concussion in the Cardinals game, but he came back and played.
You said it wrong.
I did?
David Johnson.
Whoa, David Johnson with the stiffy. There, it's better. So he got a concussion. He came back in. Cardinals won late in that one, which was actually kind of an underrated. It was an ugly game, but it was a fun game at the same time.
Byron Leftwich gets his first win as an OC. Good to see.
And Tyler's boy Rojo pulled his hammy and did not return. Peyton Barber went like 19 for 85 and a touchdown. He's been actually pretty good the last couple weeks. So my Peyton Barber, I have him in a ton of leagues because I believe in Peyton Barber. So it's finally starting to pay off slowly but surely. He's a nice flex play for me in a lot of leagues during these bye weeks.
I might have to wave the white flag for Rojo for 2018. I still believe in the talent. Very early pick. You can't give up. He's not a bust. Nobody's a bust without.
It's too early to tell.
Yeah, he's getting like 2-3 carries a game. The offensive line run blocks like crap for him. Then all of a sudden, Barber comes in. It's like, oh, all right, here we go. It sucks. But I'm still holding true with Rojo. Another guy like Moncrief. There's going to be that hill. It's going to be Moncrief, Rojo. Who else wants to come aboard?
It's like you're laying on the hill and it's like Avengers Infinity War. You're just slowly pixelating before you play to it.
Like not the quick one. It's just like
It's a very, very slow. But like you watch it slow over time. Like oh, there goes my index finger. And like
Moncrief is still slowly pixelating, but as he's still got like his shoulder, head, and right arm left.
Yeah. So at least he can make some catches.
Yeah.
He's got a brain still, so that's good. anything else on college at all, Tyler, that you observed? I mean, I didn't really watch any college football. I'm not a huge college football. I'll do a lot of stuff in the off season. I watched a little bit of the Florida State Clemson game, and then I just cried myself to sleep.
Trevor Lawrence is really good. I'll say that. DeAndre Francois deserves better.
I'll also say that. 100%.
Francois could be a third round pick in the NFL draft, but yet have to deal with that offensive line. He is such a good quarterback behind a horrid, horrid offensive line.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
Go buy Cam Akers in your Debbie Leagues.
Very true as well.
He's going to get it done. Don't worry.
Trevor Lawrence next year is going to be impossible to buy in Debbie Leagues because he's going to be a year closer, a year away from being a pro. And just the way he looks, every game I've seen from him, he's gotten so much better. And I can't wait to see this kid grow. Love it.
Love it. All right, let's get into some observations here. The good news is I'm keeping an eye on this Red Sox score. It's 4-1 in the seventh. I got a good feeling it might happen tonight, Tyler. It might happen. So
quickly. I like how it's quick.
Yes, we'll keep my fingers crossed. Yeah, and that the game gets over before midnight. That would be a bonus.
Yes.
Games, I tell you. Nothing. You're in like the central time. Us East Coasters are up till like 3 o'clock in the morning watching these games, it feels like. It's terrible.
If you stayed up and watched that game, I applaud. Like I
went to bed
work.
At 2 o'clock. I went to bed. I was like, I can't take it anymore. I have to go to bed.
I get off work central time 1:30 in the morning. So 1:30 a.m. The game was still going on. It didn't get done till 2:30 a.m.
Yeah. Central time.
Man. But yeah, for observations, can I bring up DJ Moore?
Yeah. I tweeted out, I said, hey, look at that. You drafted a receiver in the first round and you're giving him the workload like that. And he's making plays. Weird.
Yeah. And like I tweeted back to you and I said, my now 10 shares of him. Thank the Lord that he is doing well.
Yeah. He looks really good. He looks really, really. And you know, as he gets more comfortable in that offense and they start to use him, Yeah, I think especially you know, if you're in Dynasty, you probably haven't really been starting him, but he's going to be someone down the stretch that you can get into your lineups and he can help you win this year.
Yep.
I feel pretty confident in that. I want to talk a little bit about Aaron Jones. So one of the more frustrating players to own in all of the fantasy landscape. But this week, the Green Bay Packers carried the football 19 times. Aaron Jones had 12 of those carries. He went for 86 yards and a touchdown. And again, just clearly looks like the best running back out of the backfield. Ty Montgomery coughed up a fumble late in the game that pretty much cost them the game.
Kickoff return,
yeah. And Jamal Williams, he scored a short touchdown. Woo. Other than that, he didn't really do anything. But to me, to get 12 out of the 19 carries and Aaron Jones is producing, I hope that this is the start of a trend, because I've been on the buy Aaron Jones since his rookie year. I have him in so many leagues. I just love the talent of this kid. And I think that he's destined to be like a really, really solid RB2. I don't know if he'll ever be an RB1 because he is a little bit on the smaller side, but an RB2 would be perfect for Aaron Jones. I really love what his tape. I love what he does on the field. So yeah, Aaron Jones, it was good to see him get the majority of the work finally. Mike McCarthy's got to be one of the most annoying head coaches that shouldn't have a job just because he won one Super Bowl. Like, you have one of the best quarterbacks on the planet, and you have one Super Bowl, and you've made, what, one other NFC championship game in like 10 years? Get out of here.
Yep. And with Aaron Jones, this could be who he is. You know, you spot start him when you need to on bye weeks if you need him. And he could pop off for a big game, and then there's other games where he's 8 for 36 and maybe a catch or two.
All right, he always averages over 5 yards a carry, Tyler. Don't get
my
it twisted.
Bad.
Don't then get it twisted.
He's 6 for 35.
I would love to see him be used like a Jamal Charles light.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen because McCarthy.
I don't think he's Jamal Charles, but he part of his game reminds me a little bit of Charles.
He's very explosive. He broke off a 33-yard run later in the game. He looked good in that run, hit the hole, broke a tackle, and just took off. And no other running back in that backfield can make that. So
you know which running back in that game didn't score a touchdown, at least a second one? I think it was Todd Gurley.
Yeah, he let up.
I get it. I mean, I get why he did it, but he had a clear path to a touchdown. They would have went up by 9 points.
And he's also going for the touchdown record, and he said that meant a lot to him. I don't know if he got humble all of a sudden and was like, this is for the team. But, I mean, you're chasing the record. You're chasing that, what is it, 29 touchdowns?
Yeah, LT had like 28. I think 29 would be the record, yeah.
I mean, you're chasing that. You'd be at 16 for the year.
He's amazing. I don't care. Everyone wants to hate on him for, especially like the people in Vegas, because the spread didn't get covered or some other bullshit. Sorry. And everyone's like, "Oh, Gurley, I hate you." And I was like, "Whatever, man." Like, Todd Gurley is freaking amazing. Like, yep. The best running back in football. I don't care what you say. Like, he goes over 100 yards rushing. He has almost 100 yards receiving. Like, he scores the touchdown. I mean, the guy is cash money every single week. He's 20 plus points every single week. Like, why? How could you even hate on him? And
just
in the league, you had
24.
Todd Gurley. Yeah, and in the leagues that you had Todd Gurley, like, if you lost, then the rest of your team must be pretty bad. That's all.
It's not Todd Gurley's fault you lost. And the fact that, like, if you have DFS lineup, yeah, it sucks. But, I mean, it was a broken play. Todd Gurley did it for the team. Don't worry about it. It was good for football, and it wasn't. What was it? MJD did it years ago.
Brian Westbrook did it.
Yep. So
remember when Ahmad Bradshaw tried to do it, and that was at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he like accidentally rolled in.
Yeah. Whoops. So I don't mind it at all. I have Gurley in a spot, and yeah, I could use more points in that league, a little more cushion
for the pushing. You know who else had a really nice fantasy day on the ground was James Conner. The Pittsburgh Steelers really want to get Le'Veon Bell back, I can tell you that. Kidding.
Not. This nah. did not. This
Conner's a goddamn animal.
This whole season did not work out good at all for Bell. Like, everything went against him. And
risk blew up in his face.
Honestly, he had it coming. That's what I'm going to say. Like, the dude had it coming. You've been... just, oh, me. You've told your own players, your own teammates something, and you've gone against it. Dude, this is karma hitting you back. I'm sorry, but you deserve this, and you're going to hit free agency maybe because is he coming back? He has to.
At this point, would the Steelers even want him to come back? I mean, they're scoring more points with James Conner. The statistics between this point and last year and this year, James Conner is the better player.
I get that, but if Bell actually comes to the facility and say they even don't want to play him, I get that. Does it still count against Le'Veon Bell's contract if they don't even dress him?
I don't know the finite details of his contract. So
I feel like I don't know if it does or doesn't. My guess is it doesn't affect him, so he'd be a free agent. But Bell, you lost out on a ton of money. You lost out. I feel like he lost out on a lot of money in free agency as well. Like, I feel like he probably lost a couple mil.
If this guy gets upset, is he just going to be a child?
Yeah, and the fact that Connor has proven it's not just Le'Veon Bell's talent. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell's a very, very good player. But is it the system the Steelers have that does well for running backs and the style that he is? Because Connor's not far off from Le'Veon Bell's style.
That's true. I'm sure he learned quite a bit by being an understudy. But here's the thing. Like, the Steelers are being like, all right, do we want to pay Le'Veon Bell $15 million in free agency, or do we want to pay James Conner under $1 million and get as good, if not better, production? I think I know the answer to that one.
Yeah. So Le'Veon Bell is going to be a free agent next year. You can book that.
Yeah, they have cap problems as it is. So yeah, he's definitely not.
It's going to be interesting where he goes. That will be fun this offseason.
The Raiders.
Ugh. No,
I know it's gross.
He's not over 30.
That's true. But you know, Gruden, he loves his guys. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of, I think he's going to have a hard time getting $13 or $14 million a year. I honestly do. I just don't, there's so much good running back talent in the league that I don't know if a team, it's going to have to be a stupid team.
Everybody thought it'd be the Browns. Nick Chubb has shown that they probably don't need a running back. He has shown that he's a very good running back as well. Very talented. Philly? Philly probably, like, maybe Philly on Wentz's rookie deal.
They have cap issues.
Yeah.
The Jets?
He could help the Jets out, but I feel like he would just go there to be meh.
He would just go there to get paid, in essence, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, he'd help out Darnold, but, yeah, I don't think he'd...
San Francisco would be insane if they cut McKinnon.
That would be insane. I think it would to San Francisco. It'd just be nuts. The volume he would get.
That's what his game is. I mean, he's used to getting all the volume. So I can see San Francisco being a destination as well. Yeah. So yeah, I thought it was interesting. Yeah, James Conner. I had him in a couple. I have him in a couple dynasty leagues, and he was just kind of that bench guy. And all of a sudden, boom, he's a starter every week. So
I traded him for a fourth to Le'Veon Bell owner when I thought he's going to sign a contract extension. I'm still kicking myself.
Oh yeah, that's a bit rough. But hey, what are you going to do? I've seen all sorts of Le'Veon Bell trades, especially in redraft, where people are just like giving him away at this point.
I have never owned him in dynasty or anything. I've stayed away.
I've never owned him either. Yeah.
I'm very happy because there's been multiple times with headaches. He's had injury problems, which isn't his fault, but he's a player that I'm happy I stayed away from.
Yeah. I got to tell you a player that I'm not happy that I stayed away from. It's Kareem Hunt. I was so wrong. I am here to admit that I was hella wrong on Kareem Hunt. I thought going into this year it was going to be he wasn't going to see as much volume in the passing game, which has come true. He's not seeing as many receptions, but I thought that Spencer Ware was going to be able to split the load with him, and I thought that his rookie year was an outlier. I was wrong. He had another great touchdown run. He hurdled over a dude, landed, scored a touchdown. Like, Kareem Hunt is legit. Like, I was so wrong, and I don't have a problem admitting that I'm wrong. I also don't have a problem taking victory laps on players either. I think in the fantasy community, everyone wants to take that victory lap, but there's only a handful of guys out there that'll be like, you know what? My evaluation was bad and I was wrong. Yep.
I'm right there with you. I still didn't like him in the beginning of the year. I said sell. And if you had him, sell. I sold everywhere I had him. I'm wrong. I'm still kind of lukewarm about him. I think he's a low end RB1. Still.
Yeah, I don't think he's a top flight guy, but he is a low end RB1. And I mean, there's very few guys that are getting, especially in that offense, that are getting the kind of workload that he's getting. And that goes a long way.
He's a running back in the old NFL with like Maurice Jones-Drew, if he got those touches, he would dominate. He'd be a top three player.
Michael Turner.
Because his like Jake Anderson loves him. Mm-hmm. And he even said that like the contact balance of Kareem Hunt is insane. It
really is.
He bounces off people. Like him and Kamara are probably the two players that I just watch. I'm like, how in the hell do they not go down? Like Kamara, it's different. Kamara, it's just, it seems like he's covered in jelly and he just slides off people. Kareem Hunt gets hit hard and then it just seems like he absorbs the contact.
Yeah, there's never a solid hit put on him.
Yep. It's like Black Panther suit.
Yeah, there's always like but nothing like that. I was so wrong on Kareem Hunt. But anywho, Tyler, what else you got? I got a few other things written down, but I want to hear what you got.
Right now, during the Vikings game, it looks like Thielen's going to get his 8th straight 100-yard.
Yeah, that game. Fumble. But anyway.
He did fumble, and he took it hard. Like, there's a player that's going to hate himself for fumbling like that.
Absolutely.
But he looks like he's going to get his 8th straight. What do you have him in Dynasty? He's going to be 28 going into next year.
So I suck, and I haven't redone my rankings on Dynasty Happy Hour website, but I would have him top five. I'm not ready to put him number one. I'm not ready to go there. And the age is part of it. I mean, yeah, he's phenomenal. But when I think long term, you know, I'm still going to have Beckham over him.
Yep. Hopkins,
you know, guys like that. But yeah, Thielen, yeah, I mean, you gotta have him in your top five, I think, at this point. He's proven it. I mean, 8 straight 100-yard games has never been done, correct? He'll be the first one to do it.
This is week 8. Yeah. I'm not sure. Because they just showed on NBC Kelvin Johnson had 8. So this could be to tie the record. I'm not quite sure now that NBC said something.
I don't even remember who Kelvin Johnson was.
Yeah. But when you have a guy who is undrafted out of Mankato, Minnesota State, undrafted doing this, it's nuts. Like, good for Thielen.
Hell of a story. Absolutely.
Very, very modest guy. I chat with him. Very funny, laid back. Does a lot around the area and the community, but good for him. I just wanted to mention that that's awesome what he's doing. And yeah, he's top 10 for me. Easy. He's in that top 10.
Yeah, definitely easily. And, you know, Diggs is having a nice night too. So yeah. Very, very cool. I want to talk a little about, so Josh Reynolds had a couple touchdowns for the Rams today. I own him in a couple dynasty leagues. We were talking about it before we went on here, and we were talking like, I like Josh Reynolds as like a buy because you can get him super cheap. And a lot of people are going to be like, well, you know, they have Brandon Cooks, Kupp, and Woods all under contract. So if you get Josh Reynolds on your team, it's definitely the long-term play. I just believe in the talent with Reynolds, and I think he, given the opportunity, he can be really, really good. So, you know, if the Rams ever have another injury, whether it's Bob Woods or Cooper Kupp or Cooks, you know, Reynolds slides in there and he's automatically the third receiver on that team in a high-flying offense. And that's one of the reasons I like him as well. So
you got to remember, Robert Woods is not the healthiest person. He's had a good stretch, but with Buffalo, he was hurt all the time.
That's how he doesn't get hurt, because he has a good stretch.
So yeah, that's a good one. And my last player I want to bring up, Tyler Boyd, destroyed this week. I know it was like a chalk play because Tampa Bay's slot corner.
Yeah, but he's been pretty consistent outside of like last week. Yeah.
I mean, I love watching him play. I'm so happy he's doing well, because it solidifies what I thought when he was coming out. Thank God. I mean, if I'm going to take a victory lap on a player, can I do Tyler Boyd?
Yeah, I mean, if you would like to. I usually take victory laps on David Njoku, but he didn't catch a pass today.
Goose egg.
Oh, my God. So frustrating, because if you know me, you know that I own Aaron Jones and David Njoku everywhere.
Yep.
So, of course, I started Njoku. He's in a smash spot against Pittsburgh. And, yeah, complete bagel. I was like, wow, not even a reception. Thanks. That's great in these tight end premium leagues that I'm in. Oh,
and
boy.
If Todd Haley gets blamed for any of this,
that's
and
bullshit.
He gets fired and Hugh stays, I'm actually willing to say we actually just get an expansion team in
XFL.
London. In London, and then just cut the Browns completely off. Like, just say, nope, naughty, you're done.
Yo, you're so naughty. I just had a Tommy Boy flashback.
If Hugh Jackson keeps his job throughout the year, the Browns are Brownsing all over themselves.
You know, it's not a coincidence that brown is the color of shit.
So true. You heard it here first, people. There's a reason why they're called the Browns.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't be called the shit.
Because being called the shit is a good thing.
Oh, that's right. Or the poops. Yeah, poopers.
The doo-doos. The cacas. Now we've turned into a kindergarten podcast. This is great. I don't have anything else. I think we're going to wrap up. We're bringing you a shorter podcast. Tyler, like you said, wants to watch the Vikings. I want to go watch the Red Sox potentially win the World Series. So we're going to cut it a little short. Thank you for joining us this week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. Thank you to our sponsors, Trophy Smack, Sit or Start, and make sure you check us out on patreon.com/DynastyHHPod. We're ready to bring you another episode every week. We're just waiting. We're waiting. I've been your host, Doug Eddy. You can find me on Twitter @TheFantasyFather. You can find Tyler @DHH_Tyler. And Tim, he'll be back next week, I believe. He is DHH_Tim. We will see you in week 9.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug @TheFantasyFather. Tim @DHH_Tim. Tyler @DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter @DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.